When you go rogue, you don't go alone. Find out why so many people in Lloydminster and area are driving home in the new redesigned and redefined Nissan Rogue. It looks great, and with larger cargo space and premium comfort for five, you can take the whole family with you when you go rogue. Nissan Intelligent Mobility keeps the entire family safe, and four-wheel drive means you're ready to go wherever you want. The new 2021 Nissan Rogue, starting at just $200 bi-weekly, is in stock and ready to drive home today at the new Lloydminster Nissan. The new Lloydminster Nissan. We won't sell you a car, we'll help you buy one.
This is Lloydminster Show. This is local that matters to you. Local people. Local events. Local news and sports. For Lloydminster and area, this is Live with Kurt Price from the new Lloydminster Nissan.
Well, good morning and thanks for joining us here at the new Lloydminster Nissan. Todd Robinson, the Director of Education with Lloyd Public School, is here to join us this morning. And it is just another...
You know what? That'd be good. I didn't even realize it wasn't even there. Let's start again. Good morning. Thanks for joining us here at the new Lloydminster Nissan. Todd Robinson, the Director of Education, is here to join us this morning. We got talking. I didn't even realize my microphone wasn't even handy. So, but it's another hot day, and the hottest ticket in town is the Chase the Ace ticket with the Lloydminster Exhibition. The jackpot is going to be well over $500,000, and it starts at $473,000 with just 10 cards remaining in the deck, and cutoff for e-transfer and credit card purchases is today at 2 o'clock. Chase the Ace at LloydEXH.com to send your $10 through e-transfer, or you can go to the LloydX website. That's www.LloydEXH.com. Use your credit card there. Tickets available in person today until 4 and tomorrow till 6. There are just 10 cards remaining in that little bitty tiny deck. Speaking of tickets, they'll be on sale soon for the Rough Riders and the Edmonton Elks. How many tickets will be on sale? We're not sure yet, but the CFL season was announced today, and the Riders will kick off their season at home on August 6th against Mike Riley and the BC Lions. Mike Riley's still playing for the BC Lions, right? I'm going to have to really go back and try to figure out who's playing for which team now. And there's a new team, too, of course, the Edmonton Elks. They'll play their first game August 7th. They'll host the Ottawa Redblacks. Now, the Riders and the Elks, they will not meet until November, playing in Saskatchewan November 5th, and then in Edmonton November the 13th. I believe that November the 5th game is the last game at Mosaic Stadium for the year. The Riders will head out on the road the rest of the year, which is probably good. I mean, most of the teams that play on the prairies would probably like to go as far east as they could into November, where it doesn't seem to get as cold. There'll also be a Labor Day matchup between the Riders and the Blue Bombers. So nice to see that they've kept with that tradition. And then they'll play back-to-back as their Riders play a lot of back-to-backs. Play back-to-backs with Calgary, Edmonton, and Winnipeg, of course. Today is a World Elder Abuse Day. Did you know over half of seniors that are abused by family members? I feel like elder abuse is something that really hasn't been talked about in the past, but has really become prevalent in recent years. I don't know if it's because of the pandemic. I don't think so. The first World Elder Abuse Awareness Day was established in 2011. So it is something that is fairly new and something that is absolutely heartbreaking. It's good to talk about this and have it be there and be present and know that it is happening. I think for a long time we just kind of brushed things under the rug a little bit with elder abuse. We've partnered with Diamond 7 Meats and Sobeys, as well as Spiro's, Windsor Plywood, Supplement King, Tomcat Apparel, Darren and Joanne Weinkoff, Cliff Rose for Clothes, Wildside Outdoors, and Brandy Hofer to bring you a Father's Day hot dog eating contest. Enter your dad today on our Facebook page. Dad will be given 10 minutes to eat as many hot dogs as he can, and every dad will win at least one prize. And there are some incredible prizes, like a barbecue from Supplement King, a Tomcat watch from Tracy K. You know Tomcat, Tracy K designs these Tomcat watches. They're absolutely gorgeous. Forgot mine this morning, but they're just absolutely beautiful. There they are. You got the blue one or the oil slick one, and I'll give you a chance to win one of those watches. Tracy K going to be here, by the way, on Thursday with Patchwork. And there's also a Wildside Outdoors gift certificate, Cliff Rose for clothes gift certificate, a Brandy Hofer print, Spiro secret sauce for a year. Just some fabulous, fabulous prizes that dad can win. And again, every dad that competes, and there'll be five chosen, they will each get at least one prize. And here's the thing, there is no first place prize, okay? There's secret envelopes that will reveal what dad picks. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But we want to thank Diamond 7 Meats and Sobeys for the hot dogs. And again, we have some great partners that have put forward some incredible prizes, including Windsor Plywood. Could dad win lumber? Is there anything that dad would like to win more of than lumber? Get him entered on the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan Facebook page. Now, we also have another contest going on. We're partnering with the Olive Tree and Red Bicycle again this year for the chalk drawing competition. Kids 6 to 12 can enter by messaging Red Bicycle with their sidewalk drawings, and they have the chance to win a bike from the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan. Second place prize is a prize pack from Walking on Water Toys. The chalk competition is open now, runs till Friday, with the winner picked on Saturday night. Now, I was out for a walk the other day, and I saw this on the sidewalk, and it is Pride Month. And I don't know, you know, there's something about this drawing. When I walked on it, I walked over, and then I was like, I should go back and get a picture of that. There was something about this picture. I don't know. It really, really touched me. I don't know exactly why. I think because of the innocence of some kid going out and feeling like they have to draw that. I don't know. Just, it hit me pretty hard for some reason. Outdoor pool is open for the first time in 2 years. Tomorrow, the pool will be open weekdays from 4 to 8:30 and noon to 7 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays until Canada Day. And then after Canada Day, it's a free-for-all. The Canada Day pool will be open daily, 12:30 to 7:30. And Big Brothers and Big Sisters have launched their Here Comes Summer online auction. Check out their Facebook page to place your bid on a couple of packages. Package number one is an electric motorcycle. Package number two is a custom-made cutting board from Oiled Woodworks and Tukabob Boxes, plus a $25 gift card from Lloydminster Co-op. Bids will close at noon on Friday. Lloyd Mr. Canets have launched a new fundraiser called Pick Your Poison. Sips for Summer. Get your team of six together. Throw in $30 each for a total of $180 per team. Each member of your team is put into a draw. Names are slowly drawn out. The last names in win. So if you got somebody who is really lucky, partner with them on this contest. Because if you're like me and you're one of the people who you know you're going to be one of the first names out of this draw. If it was the opposite, I'd be one of the last names in. But first place is 50% of the proceeds in chilled and distilled gift cards to enjoy some cool ones this summer. Second place, 30%. Third place, 15%. And there is a 5% prize if you're like me and you'll be one of the first names out. As long as you have a team member in there, you've got a chance to win. And you can find out more on the Lloyd Mr. Canets Pick Your Poison Facebook page. Cutoff, though, is coming up quickly. It is tomorrow already. And new Lloyd Mr. Nissan partnering with Richardson's Jewelry and Spiro's to celebrate grad across the Midwest. It's going to look different this year. We're going to ask Todd Robinson about that in just a moment. But I'm going to be the MC for both the Holy Rosary and Lloyd Comp Grad Marches. I was able to do that last year, and they really did a great job on that. But we want to see your grad's pictures, but not this year's pictures. We're looking for the kindergarten pictures for your graduates this year. Post them on the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan Facebook page. We've got it pinned to the top of our page there. All you got to do is dig out those old pictures. You probably have already because everybody likes to go back and look at the pictures through the school years. And if you've done so, just tell us the name of your grad, where they go to school, where they're graduating from, and post that picture up there. And then listen to what they could win. They could win a Diesel watch or a Michael Kors watch from Richardson's Jewelry. Two of those to give away. There's pizza parties, which would be great for grad from Spiro's, and we know that a lot of kids are going to be heading out on their own, and for that they may be heading off to college. And if you got a older vehicle, then we're going to service two vehicles here at the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan to make sure that everything goes all right and you got no worries when you're heading off to college or heading out to whatever you're going to do in the fall. And I keep mentioning Todd Robinson is here, so we'll get to Todd Robinson in just a moment from the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan.
are you doing? We usually answer that with a reference to our physical and emotional well-being, but did you know that it can also be directly tied to how we feel about our finances? So how are you doing? Are you worried about paying back your student loans? Can you save enough for those expenses you did not see coming? You can check out your financial wellness score to see if you're on the right track to reach your goals, and if you need support, we're here to help. See how you're doing at synergycu.ca/wellness.
Diamond 7 Meats, we work with local farm families to provide a high-quality product and a great selection for you. Try our mouth-watering smokies, pulled pork, roast beef, and more, made pure and natural with no additives or fillers. We offer custom processing, and our experienced team works for you to provide a selection of sausage, burgers, and jerkies made to your specifications. Take your grilling to the next level with a Yoder smoker. Complete the grilling experience with Canadian-made, award-winning line of House of Q barbecue sauces. We're locally owned and operated, and we look forward to seeing you today.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Spiros.
Hello, 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 Spiros. Hello, 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 Spiros. Hello, 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 Spiros.
Hello, Sonia. Put some meatballs and a pizza. Jalapenos, calamari. With no onions and a soup and Caesar salad.
PWM Steel in Lloydminster is the key supplier and largest indoor inventory of steel between Edmonton and Saskatoon. Locally owned, PWM Steel offers a wide range of services from steel cutting and bending to custom siding and powder coating. PWM Steel uses aluminum products as well as new and recycled steel. Key supplier of steel products and services since 1982. Visit their website at pwmsteel.com.
With Kurt Price, call 780-522-9433 or visit forgesmedia.com.
Welcome back to the new Lloydminster Nissan. Todd Robinson is here. He's the Director of Education for the Lloydminster Public School Division. And Todd, thank you for your time. You are an extremely busy guy here over the next 2 weeks, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So thanks for slipping some time in for us.
Yeah, always glad to come and talk about Lloyd Public and our kids. We're really excited about our organization, what we've accomplished this year. And I'm more than ever just celebrating the great kids we've got and the milestones they're going to reach in the coming weeks.
How relieved are you that we are just a couple of weeks out from the end of a challenging school year?
Yeah, it's been a challenging year. I'm super excited. We're at the end of June. I'm really looking forward to a break. I think our staff have done an amazing job this year. Our families have been incredibly resilient and flexible. But, you know, this is the time of year where we all step back, recharge, get a little rest. And, you know, August and September will be right around the corner, and here we go again.
Yeah. Enjoy July while you
for
can,
sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And things are changing so fast. I guess you really don't know what the fall is going to look like yet.
Yeah, you know, we've asked lots of questions. There hasn't been a lot of specific guidance about what the fall is going to look like. But, I mean, I'm an optimist by nature. So I would say based on the trends you see in society and certainly in both Alberta and Saskatchewan around COVID caseloads and so forth, I think we're in for a near normal start. I'm really looking forward to providing families and students in the city with a more wholesome approach to school than we've been able to in this last year. So I would say let's look forward, let's be optimistic, and I think we're looking for a more normal school year next year.
And you're very open. You said you've had some cases in the schools to deal with. Tell us a little bit more about the caseload.
Sure.
That you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. I think since we had our first case just towards the end of October, and we've dealt with about 65 cases, been students and staff throughout the course of the year. Really proud of the efforts of our staff and, our custodial staff, our teaching, our support staff, our division office staff, bus drivers, everybody in working to try to keep kids safe. We've had very limited, if any, transmission while at school. That doesn't mean we haven't had children that, have come in contact with the virus and have attended school, and certainly we've had staff as well. But we've weathered all of that, and I think people should be really proud of the efforts that we've put in to keep people safe and allowed to continue to move ahead with school in the way we have.
When there is an outbreak at a school, when you have a student or students at a school, what did that do to, like, what did it do to the workload for teachers and for people like yourself?
Yeah, it had a big impact. I think that's the thing that folks don't necessarily see behind the scenes, but lots of times on a Sunday night, I would get a call or a late Sunday afternoon that we had to move a class out into an online learning platform for the next day. And, we generally would try to give teachers 24 hours to prepare. But, we're asking people to flip from a face-to-face environment to delivering online, perhaps for the first time in their career, in 24 hours. It's a big ask. Can't say enough about our teachers. They just stepped up to the plate, I think did a miraculous job. These are heavy situations too. In education, we're not generally used to dealing with health-related issues that can lead to significant concerns for people. So I think it's been a heavy load for people to carry, not only from a workload perspective, but an emotional perspective as well. But again, we've got a great team in Lloyd Public, and we've done a great job from my perspective, and I think people should be really proud of what they've accomplished.
When it comes to delivering a curriculum, it's got to be challenging to deliver a curriculum in 2021 and compare it to 2019. Before this entirely changed things different.
Oh, for sure. When you ask that question, right away my mind goes to the students that call LCHS home. Really from end of November on, those children have only been able to attend school every second day. We were asked to break them into cohorts, and so our teachers again had to pivot on a dime and deliver their course content to a group of kids that would be there at school on Monday and Wednesday, but be at home on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and just keep alternating throughout the course of the weeks. And that's a big ask. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm more engaged when I'm at work. It keeps me focused. These are kids that are 16, 17, 18 years old. To expect them to be as engaged, as focused, as connected is a big ask. And I think it's definitely had an impact on students' ability to accomplish all of the outcomes, as well as just feel good about who they are and enjoy the connections and relationships that you'd generally be accustomed to in a school setting. Below high school, it was that drop and pivot on a dime if you had a case in your class, and again, a big ask and a lot of workload for people, and it presents challenges. But again, I think we've done a great job, from my perspective. I think from the board's perspective, as we review our results and everything that's happened, we're very, very comfortable with what the school year brought for us.
It's interesting that you mentioned you're more comfortable working from the office and, being more productive in the office. I've talked to several executives who say they can see it in their employees. Mm-hmm. They realize that the employees are faced with challenges when they're at home. From the parents' perspective, though, this couldn't have been an easy school year either.
Oh,
but the main focus is on the kids and how different things have been for them. I can't imagine how difficult it is to go to school every second day.
Yeah.
And for some of them, going back to school next year, maybe every day might be a big adjustment too.
For sure. Oh, this is all about adjustments, right? And you develop new senses of normal, but if you think about it, I think it's as simple as this. For a child whose last name was A to K, they were in a certain cohort, and kids whose last name was L to Z were in a different cohort, but your best buddy might have been in the other cohort.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to go to school with your best friend. And in a lot of situations, that's your primary support. So it's been a year with some very significant challenges. We're really looking forward to establishing a new normal, getting back to the way we used to have things. And everybody understands there's going to be a bit of a transition to that. But certainly we want to see kids on the football field. We want to see kids playing volleyball. We want to see kids volunteering in the community and doing those things, because education is more holistic than just accomplishing some outcomes in a math class or a science class. And that's really what COVID has really restricted, is our ability to do a lot of those other things that I think you and I would talk about if we were reflecting on our education experiences that we had as students.
Todd, when you say new normal and getting back to the way things were, like, do you see things going back to the way they were back in 2019, or will we take some of the things that have been developed because of COVID and implement those into schools?
Yeah, you know, we've had those conversations with our administrators in schools, and I think there are a few things that have proven to be beneficial just around how we might structure some recesses or lunch hours or those sorts of things. But those are minor things that people may not even notice or see a lot that happen behind the scenes. I think what I've noticed throughout the year as time went on is that people were really craving connection. That's the big thing. And, you know, even though we were working in a school context, staffs were still meeting online for meetings, and there was still some apprehension about meeting face-to-face and doing those sorts of things. So I think when I talk about a new normal, it's about a new normal where you can feel comfortable coming back to school and walking into your colleague's classroom and having a visit and talking about what you did mm-hmm. on the weekend, and jumping in your car at lunch and going to grab a coffee and just visiting and doing those sorts of things. I mean, those are the types of things that have been challenged. So there will be some things that remain through COVID. I think to say there's nothing good would be dismissive of some of the things that we've uncovered this year that have been beneficial. But for most situations, we're going to see school like it was. And whether that's in September, whether that's in November, that part I don't know yet. But I'm optimistic it's going to be back to a near normal experience, and we're going to be really happy about that.
Technology, is that one thing that you would say has really, really come a long way because of COVID? Like, when I was a kid, you would have sick days, whether you were actually sick or not.
You'd never do that, I'm sure, yeah.
But, you know, your education would basically be watching Sesame Street,
yeah.
You know. But technology makes it so easy to kind of connect with someone at home now.
Yeah.
Is there no more sick days? Will we see classrooms kind of being broadcast for?
You know, there's challenges around broadcasting classrooms just openly, like we are doing today. So I don't know if we're going to see that in the near future. But certainly a teacher's ability to connect with a child over Zoom or Teams or any of those applications that we've all been super comfortable with now is something that will be a piece moving forward out of the pandemic. There's no doubt about that. Use of technology to engage kids in their learning and to make it more relevant and powerful. Absolutely, that's part of it. From a real self-serving perspective, I would anticipate I won't drive to Regina nearly as many times in the next year as I would have in the past, because I can connect on a two-hour meeting virtually just as efficiently as I can driving, you know, 12 hours. So I think there's going to be some efficiencies for sure. And technology is absolutely going to be a powerful engagement tool coming out of the pandemic. And our learning curve as staff went straight up with the announcement of COVID. And I think those are, again, some of the good things that became as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah, I want to give you a chance to talk about the teachers and what, you know, they like, I'm asking you, you must be relieved because we're 2 weeks away from the end of the school year. I can't imagine how relieved a teacher must be that this could all be, and how optimistic they must be that this might all an end to masking and an end to having to switch back and forth from online.
For sure. I think from every teacher's perspective that I've talked to, lots of positivity looking forward and really optimistic about being able to remove things like masks. I mean, one of the biggest restrictions in schools has been the requirement to cohort, to keep a class together all the time. That really restricts a lot of the movement that we would generally have within a day. So being able to relax on some of those things, and just generally, I think, being able to feel like you're okay to be at school and that you're going to be safe. I think that's been an overtone to this whole year where people were concerned about their own health and wellness as well. And education was a sector like none other that, you know, welcomed hundreds of kids every day into the school, and we never wobbled on that once, you know. And so that doesn't come without staff at times being concerned about their own health and wellness. So I think for sure teachers are looking forward to post-pandemic education. And again, I mean, we're very blessed to have the people we have, and they've just made it work.
Whoever thought they'd miss that, the big noise. I imagine the schools are just very quiet, especially high schools and things like that, you know. Just be incredible quiet. There has been a vaccine rollout in the schools. How has that gone?
Yeah, we just had our two vaccine clinics last week in LPSD schools. We had about just over 200 students that were vaccinated. You know, I know there were lots of concerns in the community about schools potentially vaccinating children without parental consent and those sorts of things. That was not an issue in our city just because of the logistics around moving vaccine from school to school and so forth. So we were able to honor, you know, that aspect of consent with parents. You know, from my perspective, I know I've had this conversation with lots of people that have very strong opinions about vaccines. Lloyd Public's a public school. We serve everybody. Doesn't matter what religion, what background, whether you're a pro-vaxxer or an anti-vaxxer, you call us home. And so, you know, we try to be neutral on these topics and give access where access is required. And for those families that needed that access and wanted their children vaccinated, they've been able to accomplish that, and we were glad to provide that for folks. But certainly we're looking forward to being in a context where we're not dealing with such a polarizing topic, and we can all rally around education and support for our young people, which is really our core business. So,
yeah. 200 would that be a majority, Todd?
You know, I think probably if you ask folks in health, it would be less than they had anticipated that we would have. And I think a lot of that, I mean, I don't know all the reasons for that, but I think some of that is, you know, there were some folks that had strong feelings about vaccines not being in schools. And there were some folks that had already taken advantage of many of the opportunities we've had in our community through drive-in clinics and those sorts of things. From my perspective, I tried not to read value into it, whether it was good or bad. It was what was required. And we were glad to partner with health and to help them serve the needs of those families that needed that service.
What does graduation look like this year?
Yeah, graduation, biggest days of the year. You know, I think that's the thing that we can't lose sight of, is that we're in this business because of what it does for children's future. So we will celebrate about 300 graduates in Lloyd Public next week. So Monday night, we start at Avery School. It's a drive-through graduation. It's a really cool event. These are kids that have really had to show a lot of resilience to get through and have, you know, really beat the odds in a lot of ways. So we have, you know, we've seen a real increase at that school in the last number of years, and we'll celebrate about 50 kids that will successfully get their high school diploma, walk on to other things in their life, and that'll be something that nobody can ever take from them. Then Wednesday and Thursday and Friday of next week, we have various events at LCHS, and we'll be celebrating about 250 graduates there this year. Thursday is a drive-through graduation event similar to last year, where families can pull through the drive-through at LCHS and get out and shake Mr. Marcinou's hand, the principal at the high school, and celebrate that achievement. And I know the parent committee has some great events planned for Wednesday. And then Friday afternoon, we're releasing the cap and gown official video for graduation. And again, we have staff that just give hours to those sorts of things and make sure that those days are special. And they should be special, because kids have worked for 13 years to get to that spot, and it's a major milestone.
Could you ever have imagined last year that it was more than a one-off? I couldn't. Yeah. I just couldn't, Todd.
You know, it's funny, Kurt, you say that, because I remember last year when we were planning kind of different approaches, one of the things was, well, let's just celebrate this class next year, because we'll certainly be out of it by next year. Well, you know, here we are, right? And we're in the same piece. But, you know, you asked me earlier about things that transcend the pandemic. I think, you know, last year we got a lot of really positive feedback about graduation, the fact that it was perhaps a little more personal than our old traditional graduation at the exhibition grounds, where kids walk across the stage for a few seconds. So I'm sure that moving forward, graduation is one of those things that we'll be able to talk about and say, what does it look like in a post-pandemic era? And how do we hang on to some of that connection and involvement of family that makes graduation even more appropriate and special?
Is there a few more people that are allowed this year?
Yeah, there's not as, you know, last year we were pretty worried about, you know, drop-ins and those sorts of things. But with the relaxation and the guidelines, I think you're allowed 150 people outside. So, you know, if there are folks that are, you know, grandparents and so forth that are standing on the sidewalk enjoying their watching their grandson or granddaughter walk across the stage, much less of a concern this year than in the past.
And with LCHS, I want to ask you about the Rudolph Roundup Award.
Yeah.
That there was some inaugural awards. This is the first year for the awards, and Rudolph's Roundup won a huge award. Now this has been going on for a long time in Lloydminster. So they changed it a little bit this year.
Yeah. This was a really cool thing. So the public schools of Saskatchewan created a citizenship award that was really meant to encourage schools, to encourage kids to get involved in serving their community in some way, shape, or form. And that's one of the things that in my seat I think is the best part of my job. I get to see these things firsthand. And long before the award, I mean, our schools do a lot of great things for our community. But Rudolph's Roundup is one of those long-standing pieces of our community where we've served, you know, families in need at Christmas time. And so this was really around supporting the Interval Home, and you know, the comp put together an application package for the award. They were one of the few recipients of the first ever citizenship awards in Saskatchewan. And I know our Board of Education was super proud of them. I know the school was really proud of them. And our city should be proud of these kids. Like, these are kids that are doing great things to serve those in need in our community. And we need more of that. I think that's another thing the pandemic has taught us, is that, you know, there's never a shortage of space or opportunities to do great things for other people and to be nice and to serve where you can. So it's something we hold near and dear in Lloyd Public.
Yeah, I think we always hear a lot of talk about, you know, youth, and when you meet them and you're amazed by mm-hmm. their intelligence, their awareness of what is going on around them, their ability to, like, for technology, they're just amazing.
You bet.
Like, some of the things they know that we don't know, absolutely. Just incredible. Now, LCHS has an expansion project on mm-hmm. the go. Synergy Credit Union has stepped up to provide $500,000 over the next 10 years.
Yeah, big news for us. Last week, we were able to announce that. You know, at LCHS, the division's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes for years to try to get a modernization to that facility. You know, it was built in 66, opened in 67. You know, it's served a lot of great students have went through there, but it's an older building and needed some repair. So we were able to get approval on a project to expand and renew a lot of the mechanical systems, do a little bit of renovating in the building. Part of that was the addition of an additional gymnasium to accommodate grade 9 students who will be transitioning there in 2023. But the gymnasium that was part of the plan was fairly small, and, you know, it could have worked, but it, you know, certainly we had visions for something greater than that. And through a great community partner in Synergy, who is just so generous and supportive of youth in our community, they were able to make a donation of $500,000. And that allowed us to shift that small gymnasium to a field house that will allow us to host some pretty significant community events and really position the school well to do that for the next 30-40 years. So just can't say enough about Synergy and their generosity and support for Lloyd Public.
When I hear field house, I think it's disconnected from the school, it's separate from the school. Will it be separate or will it be joined?
Yeah, no, that's the cool thing. We got a great architect team working on it. It will be joined, but it will have a defined community entrance so it can be isolated and used as a community facility, but certainly used throughout the day to support the school operations as well. So this will be a facility that will be able to host, a couple basketball courts, a few volleyball courts. There'll be some permanent bleacher-type seating. There's a fitness center incorporated with it. But again, it will be, our view of this is to have a fitness center that'll be student-managed to support entrepreneurship and those sorts of pieces, business acumen development, those sorts of pieces with our kids. But it'll be busy on a Saturday afternoon, just like it is on a Tuesday afternoon. And I think that's the view, is to bring another facility to our community to help support the needs of our, not only our kids, but our community members as well.
When I think about that, I think about Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day was always at the Lloyd Comp. It just wasn't last year, of course, because nothing was the same.
You bet.
As in the past. When you look back on this year, what are you going to remember? Like, I know there's still graduation to come, and there'll probably be some really big standout things mm-hmm. from graduation. But when you look back, and let's say this all ends in September, and mm-hmm. there is no more masking, there's no more social distancing, we can get back to normal, what will you look back on the most?
I think what I'll look back on the most is, you know, there's lots of things that were challenges this year that were difficult to work through. But I would say the thing that can't be lost on this year is just what it did to pull us together as a team at the school division. Nobody had training to deal with these sorts of things. This is a once-in-a-lifetime type experience, once-in-a-generation experience. The way that people stopped and pivoted and supported each other and pulled together I can't tell you the number of times I was on the phone with a principal at 10 o'clock at night on a Monday night or at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. What are we going to do tomorrow? Here's what we can do. People were can-do. They were let's get it done. They were always focused on what was best for kids and always wanting to do everything we could within the guidelines we were given to make sure kids had the best experience they could. So what I will take from this is what a team can accomplish if they pull together and work together as a group.
Anything I'm forgetting to ask you, Todd, about this past year or the coming year?
No, I just think one thing I would want to say is, you know, we've talked a lot about our staff and about our kids, just great people. I think this week we celebrated Superhero Day in our schools because I think that's one thing we don't talk enough about is kids and their resilience. Everything was different this year. So we have about 4,300 little superheroes in Lloyd Public. We're pretty proud of that. But again, I would be remiss if I didn't say a big thank you to our parents. And I think you referenced that earlier in the interview. You know, without their understanding and flexibility, none of this is possible. So this truly was a community effort to make this happen. And we were glad to be of service to our community in that regard.
Todd, thank you again for your time. Really appreciate
it. You bet. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And looking forward to grad next week.
Absolutely.
Always look forward to that. And with that, we remind you to get your grad pictures in for the watches from Richardson's Jewelry, the pizza parties, etc. And you can do that on the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan Facebook page. We'll be back on the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan Facebook page on Thursday with Tracy Kay. Patchwork comes your way with Gary Bechter. He is the owner of Longhorn Oil and Gas in Kindersley. And he's going to join us to talk about his company and what it has faced over the past several years. That'll come your way 11 o'clock Thursday from the new Lloyd Mr. Nissan.